With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Three Dog Thursday on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you in part by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/SGP gets you $15 off your first month. That's GetRoman.com/SGP. We're also brought to you in part by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is your home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Football fans, it's time to go on the record for this week's matchups in pro and college football with just one catch. We're only interested in underdogs. Who can keep it close, if not pull the outright upset? Time to find out. It's Three Dog Thursday. Now here's your host, TJ Reed.
Indeed, we rock along on the latest edition of the only digital radio show that focuses in constantly on the lesser thought of, the little guy, usually the road team. Who's giving them a chance to win? Who's giving them a chance to cover, more specifically? It is Three Dog Thursday. Great to have you with us wherever and however you found us through the Sports Gambling Podcast, their network fleet of shows, whether it is sportsgamblingpodcast.com, a social media link. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. It comes automatically to you on Thursdays when it's out on Three Dog Thursday. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. Straight ahead, our senior handicapper, Vegas Insider, MajorWager.com, Brian Edwards is back with me. Look forward to talking with him in a couple of moments on the NBA, the play-in games, the NBA playoffs that are coming up. We got to clear up the whole convoluted play-in thing for the 7 against the 8 and the 9 against the 10 and how they plug into the Eastern Conference and Western Conference playoffs in the NBA. It's never too soon to be talking college football, and Brian has actually laid out on MajorWager.com some early season games of the year and some line plays, etc. Never too soon to talk about that. And we'll also get more into the NBA much later on in the show with Brian on a team from the Eastern Conference or a team from the Western Conference as we begin the playoff series this weekend, depending on when you're hearing us. The best of sevens are all going on this weekend. Whom might be the doggy that could pull the upset, the team that is seeded, let's say, 6, 7, or 8, depending on who it is, that could still win a best-of-seven series? Brian will have all of that in a few moments. We've got much more on the PGA Championship and a lot more coming up on Three Dog Thursday as well. And I have other stuff. The Stanley Cup playoffs are going on. I'm here in Tampa Bay where the Tampa Bay Lightning have gotten off to a 2-0 lead on the cross-state rival. Are they really the rival, the Florida Panthers, when the Lightning win all the time and the Panthers don't win in the postseason ever? Like, as in, the Florida Panthers have not won a postseason series in the last 25 years, and the Lightning now lead them 2-0. So it's not really a rivalry. It's the first time they've ever met in the playoffs. But the Lightning have 2 Stanley Cups. The Lightning have 18 postseason series wins, including the Stanley Cup 4 postseason series wins last year during the COVID-19 Stanley Cup. So anyway, the hockey is going on. We got baseball with no-hitters galore. We had another no-hitter last night. The latest no-hitter again of the Seattle Mariners happening when a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, Spencer Turnbull, became the fifth Major League pitcher already to throw a no-hitter this season. It's a wacky sports year with the basketball playoffs going on, with the tainted Kentucky Derby and the in the horse racing, you name it. We're here to cover all of it. And what better way to bring on senior handicapper, Vegas Insider, MajorWager.com. Brian Edwards is with me. Good to have you, my friend. We're going to cover a lot on the hoops. We're going to cover a lot on the college football. Can't talk enough about that. Did you know? Do you know the last time there were five no-hitters in Major League Baseball before July 1st? Do you have any guess whatsoever when the last time that happened?
Wait, I'll give you a hint. Out on me there, say that again, though.
It's been a while. It's been a while, right? Five no-hitters before July 1st. Do you have a guess? It's been a long time.
I thought seven was the most in the modern era, and it's only May 19th, huh?
It's only May 19th. 1917. The dead ball era, like Babe Ruth pitching, is the last time there were five no-hitters in the big leagues before July 1st. And this is before June the 1st. That's how crazy it is. And how about Mark Turnbull, who is a former Alabama Crimson Tide college pitcher, Roll Tide in the SEC. Mark Turnbull, who had a 3-17 record last year. It just shows you...
Wow.
Brian Edwards, on any given night, you can put it together. And he put it together and threw a no-hitter. And the Seattle Mariners have now been no-hit twice in the month of May. How about that? Incredible. What a stat.
Back when I covered baseball, if you went 3-17, you weren't in the rotation the next year. You might not even be in AAA the next year.
You might even have a job. You're right. But Turnbull has come back from that, has pitched a little better, obviously, this season, and put it together on one given night on May the 18th of 2021. Incredible what's going on in baseball. We have the tainted Triple Crown where they had the winning horse Medina Spirit that ran in the Preakness, despite all the controversy, didn't win the race, and now Bob Baffert and the horse are banned from the Belmont Stakes, and there's great debate about whether Bob Baffert may be looking at a lifetime ban for all the drug problems with his horses, so we've got that craziness going on. Craziness all over the place. Let's get into the NBA, and let me say up front that I did my best to try to explain the play-in situation, and I haven't been explaining it correctly, but we're going to clear it up now. So the NBA has done the Eastern Conference play-in on Tuesday night. At the time that Brian and I are taping, the Western Conference Part 2 of the play-in is going on tonight. Here's what we know. We know that the Boston Celtics won the 7-8 game, so they are now inserted into the Eastern Conference playoffs as the 7 seed by virtue of that win, and they are playing the Brooklyn Nets. We know because the Wizards, who just laid an egg in their opening game at Boston, they're still alive as the 8 seed, and they are now hosting the Indiana Pacers, the 9 seed. That game is coming here on Three Dog Thursday as we release the podcast, and the winner will now play top seed Philadelphia. Indiana just bombed the Charlotte Hornets. Their reward is they now get to go play Washington. And so there's also the same thing going on in the Western Conference, which we'll get to in a couple of moments. But, Brian, first to you here on the NBA as this whole play-in thing got underway. The Celtics took care of business, and so did Indiana on Tuesday night, setting up Thursday night where Indiana will now play at Washington. What are your thoughts here, having watched the Eastern Conference that we know the results of?
Oh, man, Jason Tatum's going to have to go off for a lot more 50 burgers if Boston's going to have a shot against Brooklyn without Jaylen Brown. But he went off for a 50 burger last night, and that sank the Wizards. But I do like the Wizards in bounce back mode, -3 on Thursday night against Indiana, which got Malcolm Brogdon back, who had missed, he'd been out like 10 games. And he's been averaging over 21 points a game this year. So that was big for them to get him back. But at the same time, they got the bad news on Caris LeVert with the health and safety protocols. So they'll be without him. That really stinks for Indiana. But I'll take advantage and go Washington -3 tomorrow night. And as I'm saying that, I forget I'm only supposed to be talking about underdogs.
Well, I might like the Indiana Pacers as the doggy there because Washington and Russell Westbrook – They didn't look good for a lot of that game against the Boston Celtics. And Indiana might be able to hop in to D.C. and sneak out a win. And, again, the winner of this play-in will play the top-seeded Sixers. That brings up another stat. You love my stats on Three Dog Thursday. The Charlotte Hornets were the significant underdog in the 9-10 game. They had lost, I believe, six games in a row to end the regular season and yet still got to play in a play-in playoff game in the Eastern Conference. With that loss, the Charlotte Hornets have now completed as either the Charlotte Hornets or the New Orleans Hornets, and now back to the Charlotte franchise has now completed 32 seasons of play, and they will once again go without winning a seven-game series. They've never won a seven-game series. The only two series that they've won in their histories were best of fives previously. One year, Alonzo Mourning and the Charlotte Hornets beat Larry Bird and the Boston Celtics in a best of five. How about that one, Brian Edwards? They've never won Charlotte as the Hornets. The Hornets franchise has never won a best of seven playoff series. That's amazing.
Then they lost to the Knicks with LJ and Oakley and company.
Ewing.
That Charlotte team that had Muggsy Bogues, Del Curry.
Right.
Or wait, maybe LJ was still with Charlotte and with Mourning, and I'm trying to think who their three guy was. I remember Muggsy and Del Curry though very well.
Seem to remember like a Johnny Newman either for the Knicks or for the Hornets.
Oh,
he played both. Remember that name? But isn't that amazing that the Hornet franchise, even when they were in New Orleans with Carmelo Anthony, by the way, never won a seven-game playoff series. So that continues on. So, again, the winner-take-all game to stay alive in the postseason is Washington and Indiana, and you're taking Washington. I'm saying keep an eye on the Pacers there as the doggy on Three Dog Thursday, and you may already know that result.
The Pacers are 7-0-1 against the spread in their last eight. I will let you know that.
All right, so keep an eye on that. And again, full disclosure here that we don't know the results of the Wednesday night games. We know Memphis is hosting San Antonio in the 9-10 game. That game is up first in the West for TV purposes. The late night game is the Lakers hosting Golden State, and the same scenario exists that if the Lakers win the game, the Lakers plug in as the 7 seed. To go and play the Phoenix Suns. In fact, whoever wins that game, just so that we get this correctly, if Golden State wins the 7-8 game, they plug in as the 7 seed if they upset the Lakers. The Lakers would then stay at home and would play the winner of Memphis and San Antonio. Same scenario if the Lakers win the 7-8 game, Golden State is now at home against the winner of Memphis and San Antonio. Again, Brian and I don't know those results. You probably know those results if you're listening to this podcast, depending on when you're hearing it on Thursday. You certainly know it after Thursday. I would just say to you, kind of blindly here, what kind of chance does Golden State have to put the upset in L.A.? And don't we still like the Warriors with the way they were playing at the end of the year? If they get the home game with Memphis, which would be on Friday night, they just beat Memphis in the regular season finale. I still like Golden State to find a way in here into the Western Conference playoffs. What are your thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, Golden State's won six in a row, both straight up and against the spread. Beat the Jazz. Beat the Grizzlies by double digits. Beat Phoenix as well. And that's when Utah and Phoenix were still – I mean, obviously Donovan Mitchell wasn't playing for Utah, but Utah and Phoenix were still, you know they weren't like the resting guys the last couple of games. That was on May 10th and 11th that Golden State took care of them. I will note, however, that all six of those games were at home. So, but they will be at home if they lose to the Lakers on Wednesday, and it'll also be quite a long flight for the Memphis San Antonio winner, whether they got to go to L.A. or to the Bay, Oakland, San Fran area. Be a long trip regardless.
Okay, and again, in the scenarios, just so that we have this correct, the Lakers would plug in with a win on Wednesday night to play Phoenix, best of seven as the 2 seed. If Golden State wins the game, they plug in to play Phoenix, and then the winner, obviously on Friday night, is playing the Utah Jazz. Another nugget, I did not realize this or remember this, but the Utah Jazz have never had the best record in the regular season in the NBA, and they finished with the best record in the 2020-2021 season Granted, a little shorter than the typical 82-game schedule. But the Karl Malone, John Stockton years when they were in the West and when they had home court advantage against the Bulls, they didn't have the best record in the regular season in the NBA. That's remarkable. It's the first time ever for Utah, the best regular season record.
Yeah, and one of those series, they did have home court.
I thought so, too. But as it turns out, somebody in the East must have had a better record. Exactly.
Yeah, somebody in the East must have. Yeah, I don't know. Would it have been Knicks, maybe? I don't know.
I saw the Jazz tweeting about it. I saw the NBA tweeting about it. It's the first time ever that they've had the best regular season record in all of the NBA, and we'll see how that translates into whom that they play. Which is still to be determined. That will not be determined until Friday night.
Maybe,
who the team is? Yeah.
Maybe the Rockets with Pippen and Barkley and Olajuwon. Maybe they had the best record. Because Utah beat them on the buzzer beater by Stockton on the road. I don't know if that was Game Six. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's a good memory there on that, and that would have been the first time that they played the Bulls in the 97 playoffs. Stockton hit the game winner to beat Houston, and then they went on to play the Bulls in that first series. And I know the Bulls because the Bulls, the second go-around, won the title in Game 6 in Salt Lake, where clearly the Jazz did have home court advantage, but an Eastern team must have been as the top seed there on that. Again, later on in the program, Brian's going to give us a thought on the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference team that he thinks could maybe pull an upset as like a 6, 7, or 8 seed in a best of 7 series. Let me just ask you generally one more time. There's been a lot of fan interaction. There's been on social media a lot of blowback about these play-in games. Do you think it has cheapened the end of the regular season and the start to the playoffs, or do you think that it has helped? Which side of the fence do you come down on? Has it enhanced how things finished the last week or so and this week with the built-in drama, the manufactured drama, or do you think it's hurt? What do you think, Brian?
I like it. I mean, Indiana is a team that really struggled with injuries down the stretch. I mean, Sabonis missed time, Jeremy Lamb, Miles Turner's been out, and there's still no timetable for him. Miles Turner is one of the best shot blockers in the league this year. And, Brogdon had been out for like 10 games. And so this provided a little safety net for them to have a chance. And they played great last night. And now they get another shot at the Wizards, who they lost a couple of close games to down the stretch. So I like it. And, the Lakers, had more injuries. Obviously, they ended up with the 7th spot, but I mean, what if they would have had, if LeBron missed more time, et cetera, and they ended up with the 9? This gives them the safety net of still having a chance to get in. So, I like it, and we'll see. You know, like last night, of course, Charlotte and Indiana were do or die, but tonight it's Memphis, San Antonio, do or die, and then the winner against the loser of Golden State, L.A., that'll be a do or die NCAA tournament-like feel. I think it's pretty sweet.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out with this. Again, we don't know the Wednesday night Western Conference results. We do know this. The Lakers cannot be eliminated even if Golden State upsets them, and they won the 3 regular season meetings with Golden State. And so we'll wait and see. Do the Lakers have to play twice or not? To your point, Anthony Davis came back for both of the weekend games that they had to win against Indiana and against New Orleans, and they won them both. And LeBron came back for the final game against New Orleans to make sure they won, to make sure that they could have home court advantage. And we could go on and on for another 10 minutes about how diluted the 2000s, the 2010s, the 2021 NBA product is with all the resting and tanking of games and all the stuff down the stretch of the season. But clearly LeBron and AD realized we want to play at home in this playoff game, in this play-in game. So they had to win the last two, which they did, but Portland still won their last two and found their way into the 6th seed. Now let's see what the Lakers look like against Golden State. Again, you may very well know that they wiped Golden State out. Was it close? Did the Warriors upset them? At the minimum, L.A. stays at home, even if they lose, to play the winner of Memphis and San Antonio in the second of these play-in games that is coming on Friday night. And by the way, I am looking, I just looked it up while we were talking, the Utah Jazz had 62 wins in the regular season. They were the NBA Midwest champions that year, but they did not have the best record in the NBA. I believe you were right. The Houston Rockets had the best record in the NBA that year, but the Jazz did have more wins than the Chicago Bulls for the home court advantage in the 98 playoffs. So that's remarkable for the 2021 Utah Jazz. All right, let's transition, Brian Edwards, from Vegas Insider, MajorWager.com. You've been writing on the website on MajorWager.com. Never too soon to talk college football. The first weekend of games and the odds are up, and even some games of the year, if you will, some of the odds are up. Tell me more about what you've been writing on MajorWager.com here.
Yeah, so here's some lines for Clemson in their opener in Charlotte against Georgia. Clemson's -3 at FanDuel. Clemson's -17.5 at Pittsburgh. Clemson's -27 versus FSU and -21.5 at Louisville. Some Alabama lines in week one. They play the Canes, which Derek King, Miami hopes will be back and cleared by then. That game's in Atlanta. Alabama's -17.5. They come to the Swamp. Although Alabama's won seven in a row over Florida, only one of them's been in the swamp. They're -15 in week three, September 18th at Florida. They're -13 at A&M. They're -24 at home to LSU. They're -18.5 at Auburn, where they've lost two in a row on the Plains and haven't won since 2015. And then just looking at some week one, some other games, we've got LSU opening out west at UCLA as a three-point favorite. We also have North Carolina, and they are 5.5-point road favorites at Virginia Tech in week one. Ole Miss plays Louisville in week one on a Monday night in Atlanta. Ole Miss is -7 for that game. And we also have a Sunday night game in Tallahassee where Notre Dame is a 9.5-point favorite at FSU. Mm. And you can check out more of those games of the year at Major Wager where I've written an article about it. I'll also point out a couple of other ones. The Gators are +1.5 at LSU. They are a way too rich 8-point underdog versus Georgia for no reason of any intelligence. So there's a few.
Yeah, I know, and you've gone down a bevy on the list here. The first thing I would say is you almost have to be, and I know our friends at the Sports Gambling Podcast, they love the hashtag DGens only for all the degenerates. You almost have to be a degenerate if you're looking to gamble on games deep into September or October in May when we don't know what the rosters are or what they look like. I mean, for example, we know Alabama should be good, but my Lord, they lose Mac Jones, the quarterback. They lose Najee Harris, the running back, first round of the NFL draft. They lose the Heisman winner, Devontae Smith, the receiver, who you and I both love. Jaylen Waddle, the fantastic weapon who got hurt, but still went in the first round. They lose all their guys off their offense. How do you know what the spreads are for these games in September and October when you have no idea when Alabama loses all of those skill guys and the quarterback, the signal caller? How do you know what their offense is going to look like to be looking at those spreads? That's just my comment on that. Follow up, please.
Well, that's the beauty of it. So if you identify what you think is a horrible spread right now, you bet, like, if you think that, you know, Florida – will look good in week one and week two, and you've got confidence in Emory Jones, and you know that Bryce Young will be making his first career road start at Florida, and you think by the time that game rolls around that Alabama's going to be more like a 7.5 to 9-point favorite, you can bet at +15 now, and let's sure. say you put $500 on it. Well, then the week of the game, if Alabama's -8, you can bet Alabama -8 for $300. And then you've got a hedge between 9 and 14 where you could win both, or 8 and 15 where you could push on one and win the other. So that's That's the beauty of games of the year. You can bet them now, and if you're right, you can end up maybe getting a 7-point hedge. Now, the flip side of it is you could bet it now, and then your starting quarterback for whatever team you bet on goes down with an ACL tear in week one, and then your line ends up being 10 points different. So the wrong way. So it's a risk, but it's a calculated risk that some like to take, and they're available at FanDuel right now.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Just another moment or two on this. And you mentioned, I mean, that's going to be a picturesque setting that first weekend for LSU taking on UCLA at the Rose Bowl. And, of course, we got none of this, as you know, Brian, and for the audience, just a reminder, during the COVID-19 crazy college football season, we got none of the out-of-conference games for the SEC or the ACC or the Big Ten, because the Big Ten didn't play until later in the year, and they played conference only. So we missed all of these matchups at the beginning of the year, like you were rolling down the list of Alabama playing Miami, or I'm trying to remember what else you were saying, that Ole Miss plays Louisville in Atlanta on that weekend, and what Florida State and Notre Dame could have played in the ACC, but as it turns out, they did. But they're playing weekend number one. But an LSU UCLA game, that type of game didn't happen last year. So at least we get those back. They can check out all the lines. Go to MajorWager.com, check into it, and see what some of those are, and you know what's going to happen with your Gators without Kyle Trask being there. What will the Buckeyes look like without Justin Fields at the controls? On and on down the list with these different teams that have to replace a quarterback. How good will they be next year, this upcoming season in the fall, et cetera, et cetera. One final thought, anything else here on the advice and some of the teams loading up on? I know you were very high a year ago all through the offseason on Sam Howell in North Carolina. Are you still bully on him for this fall and for the North Carolina Tar Heels as well?
Let's check back in a couple weeks when I got my magazine to go through returning starters, et cetera. But while you did mention Ohio State, I'll throw out the four games of the year lines that were available for them. They are -9 versus Oregon. They are -11 at Indiana. They are -11.5 versus Penn State. And they are -10 at Michigan.
I mean, that's all on reputation, obviously, for the Buckeyes. And they've dominated Michigan. We know that. And they've dominated the Big Ten, by the way, too. They've now won the Big Ten championship 4 years in a row, the Big Ten championship game. So let's
Michigan
let's,
not getting much respect at all in these.
Well, they should. I mean, if there's some things that we've known, and we not only know, but we've known, is Michigan under Harbaugh has been an overrated joke. I mean, this is we were talking about it building up to the draft. You look at how few players they're getting drafted, how they haven't won anything in the Big Ten. Why would they get any respect from the odds makers right now on any of this when they've underachieved? They scrambled just to win a couple of games last year. What did they had to go to, like, 8 overtimes to beat Rutgers? Rutgers. They had to go to Michigan, having to go to all those overtimes to beat Rutgers just to win a game or two before they shut the season down. Why should they get any respect, Harbaugh and Michigan? It's going to go down, it looks like, if he has another bad season this year, as arguably the worst major program prolific coaching hire in the modern era of football, where everybody heralded Jim Harbaugh coming back to Michigan about how he was going to be this savior, and they've won absolutely nothing. It looks that way, doesn't it, Brian?
Fair enough. No disputing any of that here.
All right, again, read more at MajorWager.com about the future college football lines. Brian, stand by. Much more coming up from you in our final segment on the playoff series that are coming, the series that are beginning, the best of sevens in the NBA, and who he might like for an upset in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference as we rock along here. Straight ahead, we'll talk about the upcoming second golf major, the PGA Championship. The Boston Kappa will be here from the Sports Gambling Podcast Golf Gambling Show. That as we roll along. But first, we're brought to you by our friends at WynnBET, bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, sports, and games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today. You'll receive a special offer for up to $500 risk-free on a sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. Again, that's WynnBET.com. And we're also brought to you in part by Roman. Look, nobody's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So you feel like you've come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are also options. You can go to GetRoman.com/SGP and find out more about ED. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional works with you, finds out the best treatment. If medication is appropriate, it'll ship out to you for free with two-day shipping. You get started by simply going to GetRoman.com/SGP and get an online visit set up. Again, go to GetRoman.com/SGP now. Get $15 off your first month. There's no straightforward way to take care of ED, but if you go to GetRoman.com/SGP, you can get started now and save $15 off your first month of treatment with Roman. And we're brought to you in part by Underdog Fantasy. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check out their fantasy best ball tournaments, which are some of the best around, including Best Ball Mania 2, that tournament going on right now with your shot at $1 million. Plus, you can play a number of games involving parlayed player props for MLB, the NBA, and more. And they have a special NBA playoffs best ball tournament coming up as well. Just go to UnderdogFantasy.com, use our promo code SGPN, and don't forget to enter the Best Ball Mania 2 tournament right now for your chance at $1 million. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
The dogs are barking. Who will get it done this week? Three Dog Thursday now continues. Here again is TJ Reeves.
Indeed, we are back in, and we're going to get some insight momentarily on the second golf major of the year, the PGA Championship. We've been talking so much about the NBA, the whole play-in thing, the playoffs starting this weekend. Brian Edwards back with me in a little bit to talk about the series that are going on in the Eastern and Western Conference and some underdogs that he might like. Our next guest, I love the insight from all different directions, and the Boston Kappa is here with me from the Sports Gambling Podcast network of shows, Christopher Clifford, or does he go by Chris or just Kappa? I'm not sure which, but he's hanging out to talk PGA Championship and a little more on Three Dog Thursday. Kappa!
What's up, man? Good evening. How are you? Welcome to OT for the Bruins game.
So we should give full disclosure. We're taping this on Wednesday night to launch on Three Dog Thursday on Thursday morning, and the Kappa is like, listen, I got to wait for the third period. I got to wait. And now the thing has gone to overtime, so yep. We're getting our taping in the intermission at the end here. You probably already know, especially if you're listening to us later on Thursday, what's the result of the Capitals game with the Bruins, and that is how you say it, right, if you're from New England. It's the Bruins, right?
The Bruins,
the Bruins, the Bruins, as they are playing in their playoff series. Kappa, my Lightning, I was mentioning this earlier, 2-0 lead on the Florida Panthers, the little brother in the state that really thought they were hot, you know what, when they won the two games at the end of the regular season to get home ice advantage, meant absolutely nothing as the Lightning beat them in the first two games. And you're probably not aware of this stat because we're belaboring it in the state of Florida, that for my defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, Kappa, they are on the verge of winning this playoff series. The Florida Panthers have not won a playoff series since 1996.
Yeah,
hello.
The first year they were an expansion. Okay.
Right.
Year, right?
Yeah. So that is 0-6 and about to be 0-7. In that same time, if the Lightning win this series, that's 19 series wins by the Lightning in that same time period and two cups, my friend. So
yeah,
the Bolts are all over the Panthers.
I respect the Bolts, man. They're a solid team. I bet them constantly. I actually went down for games 3 and 4 for Bruins Cup run in 11.
Yeah.
So I was down there and getting those thunder sticks slammed in my face.
Man,
it was a great experience, though, man. That's a good arena, man, and everybody shits on Florida hockey fans. But, like, the Tampa Bay fans are legit, man.
We have the cup right now, even though we got it in a pandemic COVID
bubble in Edmonton, Canada, about as far away from Tampa Bay on the same continent as you can get to win the last one, but at least you can have some fans. And again, the Lightning playing Thursday, Saturday, as we release Three Dog Thursday here. So a little hockey talk, but I've got the Kappa here because you and Steve do a great job with the golf and the daily fantasy and the golf previews, and we've got the PGA Championship, the second golf major coming. You are all about the links, my friend, and I love that about you. How amped are you that we get a second golf major right behind the Masters here with a May PGA Championship?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. It's nice to have, you know, majors this close, because golf, you know, we don't get to do all these like fun prop bets and stuff like that all the time. Most of the time we're just grinding matchups, doing top 20s, top 10s. So when you get majors, you know, everybody wants to throw a little money on it, and so you get to play silly stuff like, you know, top bulldog and, you know, make eagles in the first round one. You get to do all types of fun stuff, man, like all types of degenerate stuff. It's fun. It's awesome.
I love the Kappa with all of this. And again, the disclaimer is, as we've released this on Thursday, you obviously can't take advantage of the betting advice to win the same way as if you got in before the Thursday opening round at Kiawah Island, South Carolina. So let's go back in time a little bit, because on your preview show, you and Steve were going over this. It's there on the Sports Gambling Podcast feed of shows. Enlighten the audience here. Did you have a favorite you liked? Did Steve have a favorite he liked? And at what price? What did you have?
Yeah, so we both kind of got lucky. Hovland's got a lot of steam. I would say probably like 2 or 3 months ago, we jumped on Hovland at 40-1. He's all the way down at 20-1. So we kind of did it last night. We're okay. So if we were betting today, who would we take? And so look, and just because this show's out on Thursday, there's live bets all week, right? So
sure.
Hopefully maybe one of these guys gets off to maybe a little bit of a slow stat, and you can get him at a better number, right? So like, I really like Webb. I think he's super sneaky. He's got a great track record at the majors. You know, it's a long course, so people are going to stay away from him. As far as DFS, that's why his ownership's down. And, man, that's a good number. You can get him at 45-1. I got him at 40-1. I bet him again today at 45-1. So Steve likes – so Steve's going back and forth. So last night he really talked himself into JT. I'm pretty sure he bet him today. We both
JT,
like,
if I can interject, being Justin Thomas, and the Webb you mentioned was Webb Simpson. These are prominent.
Sorry.
Again, for everybody that's not maybe necessarily a golfer, I speak the language that the Kappa is speaking here, because I used to work on PGA Tour Radio. And Justin Thomas is a former PGA champion, multi-time winner on tour. He's got to be considered one of the favorites, and Steve really liked him.
Yeah, and so really it has to do with a lot of his experience on this grass type, right? The pass pollen, right? So it's not a type of grass that these guys play on all the time, right? And he's won 3 tournaments on this type of grass. The only thing that worries me about him is the putter, man. It's so shaky. But like, you know, man, look, a putter can all of a sudden turn on and ready to go. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden it's lights out. He won TPC Sawgrass with
his
putter.
That's correct. And he's obviously been through some controversy, losing his sponsor over stuff that he said because he was on a hot mic on a broadcast, and he's overcome that, and he's won, as you mentioned. And so now we'll see what Justin Thomas can do. On the putter thing, I love the answer from Dustin Johnson, DJ, the multi-time major winner. Did you see that where they said, I see you're playing a new putter. He says, yeah, it's a TaylorMade. He says, which one? And he says, I don't really know. You got to love that about Dustin. All these guys that get so technical with all their equipment and their specs and the length of the shaft on their driver and the angle of loft on their 3-wood and which frame putter am I using? And Dustin Johnson is like, just give me something from over there off the rack at Golfsmith and I'll go win with it.
Listen, I don't think he's playing with off the rack stuff, but I'm pretty sure he trusts his custom fitters, right? I'm pretty sure he treats them right. So, Spieth obviously gaining a lot of steam. This could be the grand slam for him. He's been playing as well as anybody, and especially
what about the putter with Jordan Spieth? Is it gonna hold up at Kiawah Island here in the PGA Championship, or will the putter be the undoing of Jordan Spieth? What do you think, Boston Kappa?
I think if anything will be the undoing, you know, he's been a lot better off the tee over the last like 5-6 tournaments. But if anything, it's going to be him off the tee, maybe getting into trouble with some of the native area stuff and not being able to punch out, kind of like he did at the Masters when he got stuck behind. It was a hole 9. He turned a par into a 7, and that's where he lost the tournament. He came in third, and it was all because of that hole. But his scrambling is going to be a premium here because the greens are so small, so they're going to miss a lot of greens. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know who else you could trust more than Spieth with that, with chipping close and putting in off the thing. So I like Spieth a lot. That's a short number though, so I know you guys like the long shots. So Matt Jones, already winner on tour this year. plays well in the wind. It looks like
Australian.
Yep. And so he's played on this grass surface before. And the wind players, man, like whatever it is about it, like I feel like it's just like anything else, right? If you grow up playing in it, you're just used to it. You know how to adjust to it. And he's already won this year on tour. The wind's going to be bad tomorrow afternoon, not so much in the morning. And then Friday afternoon, it was like, could get real bad, like real bad before the cut. So I like guys who play well in the wind, and he's like 12,000 to one. You know what I mean? It's nice. It's a
all
nice
right.
number.
So look into Matt Jones, the Australian, as, again, we talk a little golf, a little PGA Championship for a few more minutes here on Three Dog Thursday. The Boston Capper is here. Capper and Steve do a great job previewing all of the golf every week on the Sports Gambling Podcast, the network of shows, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Rory McIlroy, who won a couple of weeks ago in Charlotte, not far from where they're playing at Kiawah Island, South Carolina. The same Rory McIlroy who destroyed this course. He had a different game going. He had a different swing going, everything, but he destroyed the PGA Championship field at Kiawah a few years ago. How much merit do you put into the win a couple of weeks ago and the previous success at the same place for McIlroy? What do you say?
So, I mean, listen, 2012 was a completely different golf course, right, because they played it in August versus May. A storm came through, made it super soft. And, you know, I mean, I think he played like 20-something holes on Sunday that week, right? And so mm-hmm. It was really soft, good scoring conditions. I just think it's going to play completely different. Listen, we picked Rory outright to win when he won 2 weeks ago, only because the number was wrong, right? So if I see a golfer with that pedigree hanging at 20, 19 to 1 in a field where, you know, he should be a lot lower, I just bet the number, just based off the number. I don't know. The number's too short for me. I typically don't like to take I don't like to take the favorite in golf. I typically don't even like to go under 20 to 1 just because there's so much variance in this sport. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's not like when you're betting a football, you're betting against one team. You're going against 165, 163 sure. other golfers. There's so many variables to it. Look, I was happy with what he did, and he looked a lot better, but I don't think there's much correlation between 2012 and today.
Love that. A few more moments here because the overtime is about to start for the Boston Kappa.
I got it up on my phone.
You got it up, but yet it's not started yet. And Chris Clifford is with me again from the Sports Gambling Podcast, Golf Gambling Podcast, that you hear on the feed. And again, they had their full preview of the PGA Championship, and they'll be doing much more with Daily Fantasy on their social media, et cetera, et cetera. So will the Sports Gambling Podcast on the website, et cetera. We talked about the wind being a great equalizer. I'll tell you this story real quick. A friend of mine who's a good golfer, who's probably about a 6 handicap, something like that. He's much better than me. He played Kiawah 2 years ago around this time, May, June, in the wind. And he said, bro, I was 6 over after like 4 holes. I lost 2 balls off the fairway that my playing partner and both the caddies were looking for with me. We couldn't find them in the rough. He goes, it was savage in the wind to try to break 85 for him. So are you one of those that is going to be a fan of if it's a train wreck Friday afternoon in the wind like you're talking about, or if it is bad on Sunday in the final round and the scores are in the mid-70s, are you fine with that?
I am. Unless it's my guys who are getting destroyed, right? So, right. But really, like I kind of hope for that on a Sunday, right? Just because you can make those bets, like like I already put one that it won't come from the final group, and it gives you good live betting opportunities, right? Somebody who's 4 or 5 strokes back, who's off in the morning, and it's nice calm wind conditions, they can post the score and then watch the carnage in the afternoon. So it's really just about like the betting opportunity for me to watch it. Plus, it's always fun to see guys play like I do.
This is true, and the wind can be a great equalizer. That's why we love the Open Championship, or what we call the British Open Championship, because the weather and the wind always seems to humble these guys. It does in some ways kind of become survival mode. We'll see if it's that for this week. All right, plug away for yourself, for Steve, for the show, for everything to keep it locked in, social media, et cetera. Go.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter, Boston_Capper. I'm getting better at trying to get a little more active on that. You can find us on the SGPN Slack channel. That's where we do a lot of talking, kicking around bets, first round leaders, stuff like that. Obviously, it's late for that now, but we got a pretty good record on first round leaders, which are crazy dogs. You want to talk about dogs? I mean, we're hitting plus plus 12,000 guys. You
wow.
know what I mean? And there's nothing better than sitting at your office on a Thursday with golf up, sweating a first-round leader bet on a Thursday. You can't get that kind of juice with any other sport on a Thursday.
This is why we
in
love,
the morning, during the morning.
That's exactly. This is why we love the capper. He's glued to the PGA Championship. Again, follow him at Boston_capper. Chris Clifford and Steve do a great job on the SGPN Golf Gambling Podcast. All right, back to the Bruins for you with the dreaded Capitals. We'll see if my Lightning and the Bruins make it into the Final Four. That's the first place that they could play is into the Final Four.
That'd be nice.
If that is the case for the Stanley Cup playoffs. You've got the Seas. You've got the Celtics in the NBA playoffs for right now. We know that they're playing the Brooklyn Nets coming up. So you've got a lot here right now to keep you occupied.
Sox are in first place.
Sox are in first place against my Tampa Bay Rays, hanging in there right now in the East. So we got a lot to cover and see, but including the PGA Championship. Boston Capper, good luck with all the wagering this weekend. We encourage the fans to stay locked in with you and the show for the golf. Thank you for hanging with me on Three Dog Thursday. You did great. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, buddy.
We are back in one more time. Senior handicapper, majorwager.com. Also, you get all of his picks and insight via Vegas Insider. He is Brian Edwards, back on Three Dog Thursday and ready to talk some NBA underdogs in a couple of moments. By the way, we didn't make mention when we had you in the opening segment. This is not a surprise. Again, we don't know, Brian and I, the results of the Wednesday night play-in games for the Western Conference between Memphis hosting San Antonio, the Lakers hosting Golden State. But, Brian, the ratings on TV for Turner, for TNT, and their doubleheader coverage of the Eastern Conference playoff series between the play-in games, the Pacers win over the Hornets, and then the Celtics win in the late game over the Wizards. They were watched by more than 2 million people on Turner Cable, and that does not account for any streaming numbers through them or through any other NBA TV app, etc. That's the highest rating by more than 60% for any Turner regular season game this year. But, Brian, that's not surprising because these were essentially like elimination games for two of the teams. They were standalone national TV games that were elimination games. You would figure the stakes go up, the audience goes up, and I would expect it to be the same, if not greater, especially for the second doubleheader game that we don't know the result of, the Lakers and Golden State. It wouldn't surprise me if that has 2.5 or 3 million watching that because it's essentially a win in your end game for the winner of that game between the Lakers and Golden State. So the rating doesn't surprise me, and it's good for the NBA that the manufactured drama had a better audience. Not surprising, though, that it did have a better audience, right?
Right, and Steph and LeBron, they'll probably double that tonight. And, you know, so many NBA fans, or so many, you know, casual NBA fans really don't watch anything until the playoffs. And if I didn't bet, I probably wouldn't watch much NBA until the playoffs either, but I bet.
I know you do. All right, so let's get into what you might like Eastern Conference or Western Conference. Again, interested in these best of sevens from the matchups that we know right now. We do know that Boston plugged in as the 7th seed to play Brooklyn, that Miami is the 6th seed with Milwaukee. We don't know the result of the Thursday night game here on Three Dog Thursday of the Wizards in Indiana. The winner of that will play Philadelphia. Out of the 6 and the 7, though, you actually like an Eastern Conference team here, and why, to maybe win the series as an upset?
Yeah, I like Miami to beat Milwaukee in round one. The Heat are 12-4, both straight up and against the spread in their last 16 games. They went 1-2 against Milwaukee in the regular season, but Jimmy Butler did not play in any of those three games. And let's remember in the East semifinals last year, Miami raced out to a 3-0 series lead. Milwaukee avoided broom treatment by winning in overtime 118-115 in game four, but then Miami blew them out in game five to advance to the East Finals. So Miami has the confidence against this team. I think the coaching advantage belongs with Spoelstra over Budenholzer. And, you know, I love Giannis as a player, but a lot of times in these playoff series, you know, when you're just playing, you know, team over and over and over again, they can get a way to defend you, and they force Giannis to have to make perimeter jumpers. He was unable to do it in that series last year. So I like Miami. It was plus 270 yesterday. I see it's down to 240 now. And they were plus 6 in game one yesterday. They're now plus 5. But I like a little taste of Miami for the series, and I like them in game one on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m.
Correct.
Eastern.
Correct. All right. So there's just one thing I was thinking of when you were saying that. This is my take. I want your take. I don't know that we can really put any weight on what happened in Orlando in the bubble last year with no travel involved. Again, the teams that were playing in the playoffs had already been in the Orlando environment for like 2 or 3 weeks in the bubble. No travel whatsoever. I just don't put a lot of stock in anything that happened last year in that setting. I think it was a unique setting. I know you're making reference because you need a reference point to what happened in the playoffs last year. But I really believe this is just kind of a wide open start over because teams are going to have to travel, get on airplanes, hotels like they've been doing all year, and go back and forth. And I think it will be totally different. I'm not saying that Miami isn't going to win the series. That's just my thought on that. You are really putting some stock in what happened in the bubble last year, good and bad, for all of the teams that played in the playoffs?
Well, just in terms of this head-to-head matchup, and, you know, if you want to talk about home court advantage in this particular matchup, I am not privy to how many fans Milwaukee is allowing, what percentage or whatever. But I'm pretty sure the Heat are having a ton of fans at their arena. So I think Miami's home court advantage in terms of just – Milwaukee has home court advantage in the series, obviously. But when Miami is at home, I think the fans could be a much bigger factor than they are at Milwaukee. So, but, yeah, I do put stock in what happened between these teams. I thought Spoelstra – took Budenholzer behind the woodshed from a coaching standpoint, and I know Miami is extremely confident against Milwaukee.
Yeah, it will be interesting that at some of these settings there will be more fans than at others. And again, you know, that's another factor for the difference of last year. There were no fans basically until the very end when they let like friends and family come in the Orlando bubble and be there at the Wide World of Sports at the different arenas that they had. In this case, you might be playing in a setting like you mentioned in Atlanta or Miami or in Texas where the arena is three quarters full or completely full. And then you might be particularly in the Northeast or California when there's almost nobody there, 20%, 15% fans, whatever they're allowing. Them's the breaks right now on home court advantage. I do know this. For example, I was watching the Denver, the Colorado Avalanche hockey game the other night. They had a basically two-thirds full arena for their hockey game with St. Louis. So I would suspect for that Denver-Portland game, and we're going to get to the Western Conference now with you too, that that arena is going to be two-thirds full or three-quarters full, and they're going to be loud and berserk, and Portland's got to be ready to deal with that. Although you really like the Blazers as we turn to the West as an underdog to maybe win that series against the Nuggets, right?
Yeah, Portland has gone into the playoffs the last 3 or 4 years far from full strength, dealing with injuries galore. And right now, they're good to go with the exception of Zach Collins. You know, they didn't have Nurkic 2 years ago in the playoffs. And even Dame got hurt in the playoffs last year. They've had a lot of guys hurt in the last few years. And Portland has won 10 of its last 12, going 9-3 against the spread to make sure they weren't in the play-in tournament and that the Lakers were in Denver's without Jamal Murray and Will Barton, another double-figure scorer. They're not sure when and if he's going to be back, and that's why you see the series line as a pick'em, even though Denver has home court advantage. And they've even got a couple other guys that are a little dinged up and have missed games down the stretch. I mean, I think everybody's, you know, going to be dressed out and ready except for Jamal Murray and Will Barton. But not all those guys are quite 100%. Paul Millsap hasn't really been right. And he's, you know, Father Time's kind of caught up with him this year. So I like Portland. I like what Norman Powell has given them as a, you know, another scorer, not just Dame and McCollum, but now you have Carmelo. Now you've got Powell, you've got Covington. They got some players. I think Portland has got some juice for this postseason, and I don't really want to put a ceiling on them whatsoever, especially with a superstar like Damian Lillard.
A few more moments. You're hearing the voice of Brian Edwards one more time with me here, Vegas Insider, MajorWager.com. Love his insight on Three Dog Thursday. And again, you can find much more as he tweets it out at Vegas B. Edwards on Twitter, also on MajorWager.com, with all the information on all these games once the matchups are set. I'll make reference to it for like the 18th time on this podcast. We don't know the result of the Lakers and Golden State, but if the Lakers win the game and punch their ticket with Golden State Wednesday night and get into that series with Phoenix without much stress, there are a lot of people looking at that as the 7-2 and saying the Lakers, even without home court, would probably be the favorite to maybe go ahead and win that series. What do you think of that matchup, that hypothetical matchup? Again, if Golden State wins the game, the Lakers would be the at best the 8 seed playing Utah. But if the Lakers win the game, they're automatically punched in to play Phoenix. Would you like them in that best of 7 as the 7 seed against the Phoenix Suns?
My distaste for the Lakers going back 4 decades prohibits me from betting on them in a series in the postseason, period, end of story. I will not bet a series price on them. Now, I will, you know, if my brain is telling me the Lakers are going to be a winner, I will not preclude myself from making a one-game bet. I would never, ever, ever bet the Lakers in a series. I never will, and I never have, and I won't again.
I love it. I'm somebody that grew up rooting for the Celtics for the longest time with Larry Bird, and it was like ingrained in you that you would root for the communist Russians or the communist Chinese before you would root for the Lakers, for Magic and Kareem and Pat Riley. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with this play-in game that we don't know the result of. And one of the two, the Lakers or Golden State, is having to play as the loser of that game on Friday night against either Memphis or San Antonio, likely Memphis in that setting. And again, if it is Memphis getting another crack at Golden State, they were making a great comeback in that Sunday finale before Dylan Brooks fouled out of the game late in the game. I was watching that game on Sunday. They had gotten the game tied on a great scoring run with about 5 minutes left. Golden State went on to win the game, and that ensured Golden State to get into the 7-8 game with the Lakers. Now, if the Golden State Warriors lose, they play on Friday night against likely Memphis in a rematch in the same setting in San Francisco. We'll see if that's the case. All right, before we get out of here on Three Dog Thursday, you also we strive to give underdogs all over the place. You also have a potential underdog that you're looking at for the UFC fights this weekend. This is not a pay-per-view, but you have a UFC underdog for me, Brian Edwards, before we're gone?
Yeah, Cody No Love Garbrandt, the former bantamweight champion, lost his belt with TJ Dillashaw, and then he lost the rematch, and then Dillashaw's next fight he popped dirty, and Garbrandt had kind of been accusing him of steroids the whole time, and then Garbrandt lost another fight, so he was on an 0-3 slide. Although we conventional wisdom says Dillashaw might have been on the juice when he beat him twice. Well, he got back in the win column his last fight out with a beautiful second round KO over Hapial Asuncao, and he is a short even money underdog against Rob Font in the main event Saturday night. And I like my guy Cody No Love Garbrandt as an even money underdog. I think he takes care of business and jumps back into the top 5 in the bantamweight picture, and hopefully going to have a chance to get his belt back maybe by early 22.
All right, so look for that in the UFC. Look for all of Brian's plays, whether it's here on Three Dog Thursday when we release the podcast, or if you're listening later in the weekend, Friday, Saturday, for the NBA games, the individual plays that he likes, possible underdogs, etc. Tell them how they find all of your information again, because we love plugging this, including your picks as well that you have up there. Go ahead, Brian.
I'm on Twitter at Vegas B. Edwards. Again, the college football content with the games of the year is up on MajorWager.com. You can get all my picks in the NBA playoffs, my NBA playoff package, et cetera, on VegasInsider.com. And I'll be tweeting, in-game bet recommendations throughout the NBA playoffs. And I'll go out on this. I'm guaranteeing victory for my Hawks over the Knicks.
for the series. That's it.
All right. So interesting that the Eastern Conference, the New York Knicks, I don't think have hosted a home playoff series with a home court advantage maybe since George W. Bush was the president. It has been a while in
long
New York.
Time.
Been a long time. We'll
Van
see how
Gundy
that goes.
Is the head coach, right? Probably Van
yeah.
Gundy head coach.
Might very well have been Jeff Van Gundy in that instance. All right, so anyway, the NBA playoffs ongoing with the play-in games and the best-of-seven series. Keep an eye on all of that. Brian, I always love your insight. Thank you. Good luck. And we'll be talking to you some more next week because we'll be deep into those playoff series as they're ongoing in the NBA. Thank you for the time here on Three Dog Thursday, my friend. Good luck with all your stuff.
Thanks, brother.
And that will do it. My thanks also to the Boston Kappa. Chris Clifford talking some golf with me from the SGPN Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast network of shows. The PGA Championship already underway, depending on when you're hearing this, on Thursday of Three Dog Thursday or as the weekend goes on. Let's see what happens with the wind and those conditions. And we've got Stanley Cup playoffs going on. Go Lightning, Tampa Bay, along with the NBA playoffs and much more. Subscribe again to this show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe away here to Three Dog Thursday. It comes automatically to you. For now, we are done. Enjoy everything that's going to go on this weekend. We're back next week to wrap up the month of May on Three Dog Thursday. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.